Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Rashida Tlaib, Jeremy Corbyn, and the Jews. What is really happening? What type of political earthquake are we seeing where people who, in my opinion, in many people's opinion, are completely anti-Semitic, getting elected into office, leading their parties, leading the people? This is something that has become not only acceptable today, but is in vogue. The left, the Democrats today, and the left wing, the socialists, etc., are touting these people as a breath of fresh air, something that's finally coming to be. How worried should we be? How much of a reality is this that it's going to really take effect and, God forbid, bring another Holocaust or something similar? More killing of Jews, more discrimination, more divisiveness in the world, whether you're Jewish or not Jewish. We're going to be talking about this on the show today. And you, our listeners, are invited to call in and weigh in on the issues. The show is live if you're listening between 7 to 8 a.m. holy time right here in the land of Israel, or if it's between midnight to 1 a.m. U.S. Eastern time. That means that we are broadcasting live and you can phone in and give your opinion. Do you agree? Do you disagree? We want to hear from you. Our numbers are on our homepage at israelnewstalkradio.com. Go there now. Go to israelnewstalkradio.com. Check us out. It's an interesting homepage that we have there and there to serve you as well. So go and check it out, israelnewstalkradio.com. You'll see our phone numbers at the top of the page. And you will see the orange button that says chat. You can join us in the chat room. It's a lot of fun. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us. So you can also meet a lot of people there who are listening to the show with you at the same time. Read their comments. You can add your comments if you like. It's a lot of fun. Join me in the chat room. Hi, everybody who's in there right now. It's wonderful to see you. And hi to everybody who's listening from all over the world, from the United States, Canada, Israel, New Zealand, South Africa, Pakistan, Germany, Norway, Belgium, Romania, etc., etc. Wow, it's wonderful to see you all. Join me in the chat room. We'll be right back.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations. Here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Right, so we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And today we're talking about Rashida Tlaib and Jeremy Corbyn. We're going to give an Israeli assessment of what is happening. And we have as our guest Barry Shaw. He is the Senior Associate for Public Diplomacy at the Israel Institute for Strategic Studies. His recent book, BDS for Idiots, is a pro-Israel, anti-BDS bestseller on Amazon. And you can get Barry's books, which include Fighting Hamas and BDS and Anti-Semitism, from Amazon or directly from Barry's website at www.barrysbooks.info. Welcome to the show, Barry Shaw.
Thank you, Tamar. Good morning. Boker Tov.
So we're seeing quite an earthquake in politics today with new people being elected that are not making the world a better, more united place. We're seeing divisiveness. I want to say here that this Rashida Tlaib she gets up when she wins in the Congress there to become a congresswoman. She gets up and says that she's a Palestinian, a woman, and a woman of color. She doesn't just say, I'm an American. For the left, which is always screaming racism and screaming equality, in my eyes, it's the most divisive thing I've seen by way of nationality, where she says, I'm a Palestinian Arab, by sex or gender, where she says, I'm a woman as opposed to being a man, and skin color. She brings up that she's a woman of color. So I see divisiveness here. And the left, the socialists, the progressives seem to look at this not as a dangerous slide to the past, but as a breath of fresh air. What do you have to say about all of this?
Welcome to the new politics in the United States of the radical left of the Democratic Party, where it's all based on intersectionality, gender politics. And you have to support the so-called oppressed because they have a cause and they need to be supported. And everything is seen, quite frankly, through the prism of black or white. And the newly elected Muslim immigrant representatives of the Democratic Party really resemble what the whole of the radical, what they call the progressive, we call the regressive left of the Democratic Party stand for. They stand for more hatred for Israel, for instance, than love of America. You mentioned about Rashida Tlaib draping herself not in an American flag when she got elected, but in a Palestinian flag. And this is apt because she's there to represent Palestine and mm-hmm. her Islamic base from where she comes from and to transform America in their image. Right. And the same applies to the Somali-born Ilhan Omar, another Muslim lady who represents a strongly Muslim constituency in America, who is allegedly, for instance, to have married her brother, Ahmed Noor Said Elmi, in order to help him commit immigration fraud and obtain American citizenship. While being officially married to Elmi, she said she had children by another Ahmed, Ahmed Hirsi, who declared that she declared as her cultural husband and father of her children. And the other Ahmed, her brother, having illegally claimed American citizen, went in 2011 to live in London, and Ilhan Omar visited him there. So on top of committing immigration fraud, she's also accused of campaign finance violations. You have to understand, Tamar, that these people represent strong Muslim constituencies. Omar in Minnesota district, which goes by the nickname of Little Mogadishu due to its large Somali Muslim population. And this district now regularly elects questionable Muslims. Why I say questionable? Because they come with Jew hatred and Israel hatred as their representative. She, Omar, took over the seat held by Keith Ellison, another Israeli-hating politician. And Ellison is close to the notorious anti-Semite Louis Farrakhan, who heads the radical Nation of Islam. This is precisely what's going on with what the intersectionality of this progressive language or active hatred of Israel and anti-Semitism, which we're going to see a lot more of.
You know, Bernie Sanders, everybody knows he's Jewish, but he doesn't. When he was elected, he didn't go wearing an Israeli flag around him. He didn't go wearing, and he's not pro-Jewish anyway. But the point is, he came as an American, as a socialist American. But that's his politics. People come as Republican Americans, yeah. Democrats, but that's their politics, and that's who people are voting in. But what we see here, where she wears an Arab gown as she's being sworn in on the Quran, by the way. And she says that she's a woman of color and she's representing all of these people, et cetera, et cetera. It just seems so divisive to me. And at the same time, anti-Semitic, because we all know that when somebody identifies as, quote unquote, Palestinian, it means that they're against the establishment of the state of Israel. They say that she's for the one state solution. In her eyes, that means a Palestine and no Israel. What do you have to say about all of that?
Well, you're right when talking about the anti-Semitism behind it. And I could tell you that other people that support your view are Mort Klein, the president of the Zionist Organization of America, wrote back in November 30th, 2018, that Palestinian anti-Semitism is becoming mainstreamed and normalized. You know, that this Rashida Tlaib posted in January the 7th, 2019, about people who criticize her, what she calls a Zionist. They forgot what country they represent. This is what she said. This is the United States, where boycotting is a right and part of our historical fight for freedom and equality. And in response to her Jewish, what she was saying basically about anybody who supports Israel is guilty of having dual loyalty in America. And the American Jewish Committee posted a picture of the newly elected Tlaib, as you said, Tamar, embracing a woman in a Palestinian flag with the message, "Tell us more about dual loyalty, Rashida Tlaib."
Right, right, right. And yet people don't see it today in America. They don't see this hypocrisy.
Oh, this is going to be far more in the open. Senator Marco Rubio also tweeted, "This dual loyalty canard is a typical anti-Semitic line. BDS isn't about freedom and equality. It's about destroying Israel." But I want to tell you, this Rashida Tlaib is not a one-off rude remark House representative. Tlaib has an agenda that she intends to execute. I want to tell you about this. She has said, as you rightly said, "I personally support the BDS movement. Economic boycotts are the way to bring attention to the issues like racism and international human rights violations by Israel right now." Now, I want to tell you that this Rashida Tlaib has said she will organize a congressional delegation to Palestine. She said she wants to give an alternative to AIPAC's, what she calls, one-sided lavish trips to Israel. Listen to this. During her visit to her Israeli-occupied West Bank, I would suggest that her Congress guest must visit with Issam Akel while they're in Ramallah. Why? Because 53-year-old Palestinian Akel was sentenced to life imprisonment with hard labor by the Palestinian Authority that Rashida Tlaib and Omar support. And he was sentenced to life imprisonment for hard labor for selling his property in Jerusalem to a Jew. So I would say to Congressman Tlaib, how's that for an international human rights violation? And why the congressman should insist that they take her, she take them to see this, visit this Tlaib, Akel, is because, like Tlaib, Issam Akel is a Palestinian who holds American citizenship. All the more reason to visit him.
Right. And to try to free him.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But Tlaib won't even mention him. He won't be included in her itinerary, because members of a delegation should insist that it's top of their list of priorities, no matter how embarrassing this would be for Tlaib and the Palestinian Authority.
And yet she says nothing about all the terrorism that's coming from the Palestinian Authority.
Not only that, but she has nothing to say with her, you know, intersectionality and politics, that in fact the Palestinians' official policy that a future Palestine will be Judenrein, free of Jews. Now, with regard to this Akel, the United States Ambassador for Israel, David Friedman, happens to be Jewish, has demanded that the Palestinian Authority immediately release this Akel. So why doesn't Palestinian Congresswoman Tlaib object to this Palestinian anti-Semitic punishment for selling property to a Jew?
I'm just wondering if she'll even meet with the American ambassador to Israel, David Friedman.
She absolutely won't. She will swerve the Knesset and the members of the Knesset. She may outside of the Knesset meet some of the Arab
MKs,
Knesset,
yes,
members who, yes, tend to see themselves more as Palestinian than Israeli. But I want to tell you, I'll give you another place that she should take her Congress visit.
Hold that thought, because we have to go to a break, Barry. And I want to say here, you know, you can understand her, you know, maybe not meeting with Knesset members or anything, but with her own ambassador, her own United States ambassador. That is something interesting. When we get back, we're going to be talking more about this and also Jeremy Corbyn. What is happening in the UK? We'll be right back. If you have any comments or questions, you want to weigh in on the issue, you want to ask a question, feel free to call in. We will take your calls. Our numbers are on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com at the top of the page. We'll be right back.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio, and we are talking about anti-Semitism. We were talking about what's going on in politics today, how we are seem to be reverting back to almost pre-war Germany with all of the anti-Semitism that we're seeing today. And the people who are being elected into office, people who are being touted as a breath of fresh air, telling the truth, people who are making this the hip and bold and a wonderful turn of events. And our guest today is Barry Shaw. Again, he is the Senior Associate for Public Diplomacy at the Israel Institute for Strategic Studies. He's also a book author. You can check out his books at barrysbooks.info or on Amazon. The author, again, Barry Shaw, and he is our guest here today. Welcome back to the show, Barry.
Thank you, Tamar. Thank you.
All right. So where would you were just about to say something when we went off for the break.
Yeah. You know, everything I'm talking about here, and you can see this, and it's covered in detail in my book, Fighting Hamas, BDS, and Anti-Semitism. Anything that's wrapped up in the Palestinian cause is really a cover for hidden anti-Semitism. In fact, it's not quite so hidden. So I want to talk about further about this. Rashida Tlaib wants to bring a delegation from the Congress to visit the Palestinian side of the Israel-Palestinian conflict, if you want to call it that. She wants to talk about, she wants her Congress people to see what she calls a real fair lens of this issue. I want to suggest that they also go visit a detention center, a Palestinian Authority detention center in Jericho. I don't know if you know this, but recently a BBC reporter, Tim Sebastian, embarrassed the Palestinian Authority senior official, Saeb Arakat, who lives in Jericho, in a TV interview about the detention centers in his hometown of Jericho.
I saw that. Palestinian it's on my Facebook page,
Are being tortured, right? So I would suggest that Tlaib takes her visitors to inspect the Palestinian Authority detention center, where these Palestinians are tortured, regularly inflicted on political prisoners. We're not talking about terrorists, political prisoners, Palestinians, for opposing the corrupt kleptocracy of the Mahmoud Abbas's unelected Palestinian Authority.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Human Rights Watch have issued a result of a two-year investigation into 86 cases of which the Palestinian authorities routinely arrest peaceful protesters and torture those in custody. Now, Rashida Tlaib has said herself that she wants to expose the international human rights crimes of Israel. So let her expose the human rights crimes against her own Palestinians who are languishing in Palestinian Authority prison or being persecuted by Hamas in Gaza.
Right. Let's turn our attention now across the pond to what's happening in the UK. I know you have a lot of information about Jeremy Corbyn, and why don't you start there?
Yeah, okay. But in the case in Britain, and here you've got a straight dichotomy going on here, because most of the Western democracies in Europe are swinging politically to the centre right, and yet here we have in America, we discuss a swing to the far left into a form of anti-Semitism. But in Britain, it really is blatant. Jews in Britain are very worried about the exposure and spread of anti-Semitism in the British Labour Party.
Barry, hold it there for a moment, because I forgot we have a caller who wants to come on and make a comment or ask a question. We have joining us Shoshana from Portland, Oregon. Shalom, Shoshana. What's your comment or question for us here?
Hi, Tamar. This man is totally brilliant. Let him keep speaking. Please, Barry, I read your books. I think you're brilliant. Keep talking. Thank you very much for taking the call. Bye.
Thank you, Shoshana. It's so sweet of you to come on the air and say that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. So.
Wonderful. Oh, that's good. I thought I was waiting for a question.
Or comments, and she's read your books, and she says you're brilliant. So I want to thank Shoshana for calling in and saying that. Thank you for adding to the program.
Sometimes, Shoshana, you know, I think I'm working in isolation here, so it's good to get feedback like that. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, wonderful. All right, so Jeremy Corbyn.
Yeah, okay, look, I was recently in Britain. I want to tell you the concerns of British Jews is very real. And it's very real, the anti-Semitism going there within the Labour Party, led by Jeremy Corbyn. And the reason it's so severe and so important is that Jeremy Corbyn, according to the research that I have done, will be the next Prime Minister of Great Britain. He will lead the next Labour Party into power in Britain. And I've got, you know, various facts and statistics and the research that I've done which point in that direction.
That's frightening to hear.
Yeah, well, I'll just give you a few details, because I want to get onto the source of what's going on. People don't know this, but as of April 2018, the Conservative Party, that's the ruling party in Britain, had 124,000 paid-up members, whereas the Labour Party has approaching 600,000. The support for the Labour Party has doubled in the 3 years that Jeremy Corbyn has become leader of the Labour Party. The average age of the Labour Party is lower than for the Conservatives. The Conservative Party last year raised about £2 million for their organisation and future elections budget, whereas the Labour Party has collected, as of 2017, sorry, this is not 2018, £34 million. And also the Conservatives themselves are doing a very bad job, as you can see, over Brexit. They're in disarray. They have no faith in their leader, Theresa May. And the Labour Party is on the up and up. So my conclusion is, if an election was taking place today, for instance, Corbyn will be Prime Minister. This is why his anti-Semitism, not his, but also the deep anti-Semitism within the Labour Party at all levels, is very real. I want to scare your listeners just to give them some idea of what's going on in the Labour Party. So let me give you, if I may, Tamar, some examples of this.
Please.
A Labour Member of Parliament, Frank Field, who's not Jewish, resigned, saying that leadership in the Labour Party has become a force for anti-Semitism in British politics. Margaret Hodge, who happens to be Jewish, and she has to be, she's a daughter or granddaughter of people who came over to Britain from Nazi Germany in the Kinder transport, confronted Jeremy Corbyn in the House of Commons and told him to his face that he was a blatant anti-Semite. A former Labour minister, Tom Harris, said he was leaving the Labour Party after 37 years because he saw what was happening in the Labour Party. Now, I know somebody who attended last year, last November.
Barry? Okay, I think we've lost Barry. Okay, we're going to try. Barry? Barry? I'm going to ask you if you can hear me, just to, if you can stand closer to your modem, because we're losing you.
Okay, I'm here now.
Okay, very good. All right, go ahead.
Okay, I want to give your listeners something that a guy called Colin Appleby, who is a member of the Labour Party, who attended the Labour Party conference last November, said out his experience there. All right? He said he had a breakfast with a couple of people he'd never met before. They were both delegates at the Labour Party, right? And they said they didn't know him, and they didn't know he was Jewish. And he said that the Jews were subhuman, didn't deserve to be allowed to define what constitutes anti-Semitism, and that they should be grateful we don't make them eat bacon for breakfast every morning. And he said, to my eternal shame, I said nothing and left the table. And then he said he's fallen out of love with Labour. He's been called a Zion Nazi. He's been told that he's obviously very rich. He's been accused of being more loyal to Israel than the UK. He's been called a child killer. And worse, Zion scum. He's heard the Labour Party members saying that Hitler was right, and it's a pity all you lot weren't gassed. This is going on in the British Labour Party today, and at its head is Jeremy Corbyn.
Is this making headlines when we hear things like this?
No, it goes under the radar. And let me give you some idea why this is relevant to Israel. Because at that Labour Party conference, if anybody saw what was happening there on TV, in all the halls of the members, they saw them waving Palestinian flags. Not British flags, Palestinian flags. The Labour Party conference, the Labour Party members had to vote on their top 10 priority policy issues, as they had to a potential general election. Tamar,
yes.
Palestine was number four. Palestine was ahead of Brexit. Palestine was ahead of unemployment, social welfare, the National Health Service. It was ahead of all that. In other words, the voters at the British needs of the Palestinians that they did for their own members and the members of Britain.
Well, you're breaking up again, Barry.
Why should you have him?
Barry, you're breaking up. We're going to take a break now anyway. The music is just about to come on. And when we get back, again, if you'd like to call in, this is the last segment coming up. If you want to call in, you want to weigh in on the issue, feel free to do so. Our numbers are on our homepage of IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. We're going to find out more about the rising anti-Semitism, legitimate in their government, it seems.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany's but a memory, but in its place the world invented the Phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
All right. right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and our guest is Barry Shaw. He's the author of BDS for Idiots and Fighting Hamas and BDS and Anti-Semitism. And he's here talking to us today about the rising anti-Semitism in politics, whether it's in the USA, whether it's across the pond in the UK, other places as well. But specifically, we're talking about the Corbyn threat, and he's giving us an Israeli assessment of that. And I want to welcome back to the show Barry Shaw.
Yeah, hi, Tamar. Thank you.
So go ahead. You were just about, you were saying something before we went to the break.
Yeah, okay. Well, as I said, the people in Britain, the Jews in Britain, are gravely concerned about the rise of Jeremy Corbyn and the Labour Party to become the next British government. And a lot of them are saying that, you know, if he becomes prime minister, they're packing up and moving to Israel. But this threat is not just to British Jews. A Corbyn government will be a serious threat to Israel. Let me just preface that with some statements that Jeremy Corbyn himself has made. In 2010, as Hamas was firing hundreds of rockets into Israel, there was a huge demonstration in support of Hamas in Trafalgar Square in London. And Jeremy Corbyn addressed them. And in his speech, he said, "In our thousands, in our millions, we are all Palestinians." This is when Hamas was firing rockets into Israeli civilian targets. Hmm. And on June 23rd, 2014, Jeremy Corbyn said, "The United Kingdom has a very close relationship with Israel, and it's time this relationship was brought to an end." In 2015, Jeremy Corbyn said, "I think the boycott campaign is part of a legal process that has been adopted. I believe that sanctions against Israel are an appropriate way of promoting the peace process." Jeremy Corbyn is not at all interested in promoting a peace process. Jeremy Corbyn has been to Israel, but he has never met anybody in the Knesset in order to advance a peace process. He swerved, he avoided the Knesset and made his way to places like Hebron and to Ramallah, where he met members of Fatah and members of Hamas. In fact, he has invited twice members of Hamas and Hezbollah to meetings with him in the British Houses of Parliament. He recently called for an independent United Nations investigation on the border clashes at Gaza, which he called illegal and inhumane attacks by Israel against unarmed Palestinian demonstrators. This is the man that's likely to become the next Prime Minister of Great Britain. And I can tell you that as a Prime Minister, he will impose sanctions and boycotts against Israel, even if it affects the trade agreements between Israel and Britain. There's already been a call.
You know, I just want to jump in here if I can, Barry. And I want to say that the Jews in Britain should be very, very frightened, because it could easily happen that a new government comes in, and if things are bad for the Jews and the Jews do want to leave, it could easily happen that they could just say, "Oh, you want to leave? You leave, but you keep your money here. You can't take your money with you. You made your money off of Britain, and so your money is going to stay here in Britain." I mean, this should propel Jews to want to make Aliyah right now.
Well, you're right about that, because Corbyn also represents a strong socialist, that's a Marxist agenda, anti-capitalist. But one of the things that he would impose would be to stop or prevent what I call a capital flight, not just of Jews, but from industrialists who would say there's no future for their money or investment in Britain. And he would have to stop that anyway. In fact, what will bring down a Corbyn government is not his anti-Semitism or anti-Israelism, but it's going to be he will ruin the economy of Great Britain. That's the thing that will bring him down eventually. But he will become prime minister. And as prime minister, he will take steps against Israel. I'll give you another one, that in Britain right now, Hamas is designated as a terror organization. But Jeremy Corbyn doesn't look on them as a terrorist organization, and he would lift them off the ban of designated terrorist organizations. And as such, Hamas and Hezbollah will be able to use the London financial markets to transfer and channel the monies, the donations, to whatever causes they have through the London financial market, something that's prevented to them right now.
Right. And, you know, I think
by Hamas and Hezbollah illegally within Britain.
I think people forget also that a good part of the government, a large minority in the UK today is Muslim. Look, they've got a Muslim mayor already, and you've got people who are Muslim working in the BBC, and so the BBC is going to reflect that as well. And people are in shock. How could the BBC do this? How can, et cetera, et cetera. There's probably a lot of Muslims who are working there who have their agenda as well, I'm imagining. I could be wrong. Maybe you can correct me. But we see where the tilt, where the country is tilting.
A lot of his support base comes from an organization that basically was his political home, like what's called the Socialist Workers' Party, which is basically a communist party, who come out with the most grotesque anti-Semitic statements and pictures. He also has the support of the can I call them this? They call themselves the Islamic Human Rights Council in Britain. Islamic Human Rights Council. And they are huge supporters of...
Sorry, they're huge supporters of what? Barry? Okay, we're trying to get Barry back.
The Labour Party. Because... Hello?
Yes, go ahead. Barry, go ahead.
All right. Among his most active supporters in Britain is the Islamic Human Rights Council. And they put people on the streets. They have a huge budget that they will go and support Corbyn. They will not become members of the Labour Party, but they would vote for him because they see him as the donkey that will bring them into power, because Corbyn will bring out the policies that they support. And their policies are anti-Semitic and anti-Israel.
Hmm. We only have 3 minutes left, Barry, and I want you to be able to, you know, what do you want to leave us with?
I want to leave it to this message. And that is that in Britain, I want you to watch out for this, because as we stand right now, an anti-Semitic political party is on its way to becoming the next British government. If we go back, the last time the Labour Party had a rabid anti-Semite was in the late 40s by an anti-Semite by the name of Ernest Bevin, who was the foreign minister, the foreign secretary. And he vigorously opposed the creation of the Jewish state of Israel at that time that was being debated. That was prior to the birth of the state of Israel. And he was avidly against it. And today we have the leader of a Labour Party who is likely to be the next prime minister, who is an anti-Semite, who will vigorously delegitimize and do anything to bring down the state of Israel. And if you think that situation is back, as I perceive a worldview, we have a rise of this far-left Labour Party in Britain, who is on its way to being the next British government in Britain, where they have an anti-Israel policy and try to hide unsuccessfully their anti-Semitism. And at the same time, we're seeing in America the rise in the far-left of the Democratic Party, who are also anti-Israel and are trying to hide their anti-Semitism. But the link between pro-Palestinian activism and anti-Semitism lies not very deep below the surface. And again, read my book, Fighting Hamas, BDS, and Anti-Semitism, and you will find that wherever there is hyperactive pro-Palestinian activism, there is a very deep anti-Semitism lurking below the surface.
You know, I just want to say here, Barry, that a lot of people after hearing the show could be thinking, well, we have to fight even harder to try to get these parties out in order to secure our safety here in these countries as Jews. But I'm thinking you're never going to be able to do it. The majority of the people there are not Jewish. They're going to have their way. And the thing, the answer is to make Aliyah, is to come home to Israel.
Actually, exactly the thing they have to do. But the problem, I'll tell you what, the problem of the people in parts of Britain is, the Jews in parts of Britain, when I was over there, told me they would love to make Aliyah, but they can't afford it. Because the property prices are not very high in a lot of parts where a lot of the Jewish community are in Britain. And the prices of property are high over here.
What's your answer to them?
I sympathize with them. You know, I tell them you can rent in Israel, but at the same time, they're a lot of them are financially, because of the success of the Israeli economy, are not able to afford to live over here.
Okay, so this is what I want you to tell them. I want you to tell them that they can't afford the prices here if they want to live on the same level. But if Ethiopians who walked here barefoot, if Yemenites who came here barefoot, and other Jews from poorer countries can make it here, they can certainly make it here, who are bringing money with them, who are bringing education. They're educated people. They speak English. They've got it much better than those Jews ever did. And if those Jews can make it here, they can make it here. Barry Shaw, thank you so much for coming on the show. And again, if you want to get his books, go to barrysbooks.info or look him up on amazon.com. Thank you, Barry, for being with us.
Thank you, sir.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com homepage, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio. Straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.